This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is the last of our series on the Holy Spirit and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on April 14th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Slide, please. We've been talking this is 4 weeks. And by the way, I've gotten from so many of you, you have been very encouraged, very blessed by this series. And here's what I'm going to do this morning, just at the start. Some of you have asked if we could continue the series. I don't know exactly when I'll preach again about this, but I will. And some of you had some questions. And here's what I'm going to do for you. If you got your pen, I'm going to give you my email address. You can text me or email me your questions. And I'll compile those questions, look over them, pray over them. And sometime in the future, we'll try to address some of those questions that you have about the Holy Spirit. How's that sound? Does that sound like a cool thing? So here it is. My email address is the letter J, Lamont, L-A-M-O-N-T, at N-S-L-K, that's New Song, Louisville, Kentucky, N-S-L-K.org. Everybody got it? So if you have any questions, email me there. I'll pray about that, think about that. We'll see what would be a good time sometime in the future to address things that are on your heart and mind. But today we've been building toward today, and today's an important day for us, and I'm not surprised that we're having some challenges, because I think the enemy would love nothing more than to kind of distract us and get us off key here this morning, because we've been building to this moment. The birthing of the church starts with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It starts with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I just want you to think about what the future of the church would have looked like, would have felt like, would have been like. You had a bunch of fishermen who constantly put their feet in their mouth, who constantly said the wrong thing. There is a transformation that happens that's indisputable. These guys, Peter wouldn't even share Jesus with a little girl around the fire. He was a coward. He was an impetuous guy who had always had something to say, except when it really came to the important moment, and then he backed out, and he backed down, and he did not speak the truth. In fact, he denied the Lord and heard the rooster crow. You know what I'm talking about. This group of men that Jesus spent all night praying for before he chose them, had lots of issues, just like you and I. I had lots of issues in my life. I still have several issues in my life. I'm not trying to say I've reached perfection. I'm still striving. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit came upon my life, things changed for me dramatically. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, in the early church, things changed dramatically. Peter, who denied the Lord, stood and spoke not just with human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit's presence in a way that was unmistakable, an anointing that captivated the crowd. And 3,000 people that day put their faith and trust in Christ. It was an amazing moment. Every one of those disciples gave their lives for the Lord. They were so committed. They were so dedicated. These ones who abandoned him at the cross. Some of them ended up going to the cross themselves because of the boldness that was imparted to them through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Part of my whole purpose in this series has been to dispel the myths. Because I think a lot of us, we've had poor packaging from the past. We've seen things that have thrown us off. It's not just about wild church services where people are dancing and shouting and jumping and running around the building and all kinds of craziness. I'm not trying to say that some of that is wrong. I'm not trying to make that point, but I'm saying it's much more than that. It's much more than that. And we have at times made it just that. That, hey, we're going to get together and have a really whoop-up time at church. It's going to be awesome. And it's so much more than that. It's about the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do the job Jesus has left with us to do. I heard, just by way of humor, I heard about two old hound dogs that were sitting on a porch next door to a country Pentecostal church. And man, church was going on, and they were shouting and whooping and hollering and dancing and jumping high, and it was just, I mean, it was something, man. The house was rocking. And the one old hound dog picked his head up and looked over toward the church, and the other old hound dog picked his head up and looked over toward the church. And the one hound dog, the older one, looked at the younger one. He said, boy, if we acted that way, they'd worm us. Listen, there's nothing wrong with God moving in his people. But that's not our purpose. If you think that's even slightly my purpose, that we would just get to the place where we have just a hoop-it-up church meeting, that is not it, folks. It's about the power of God being poured out on his people, that you and I might be witnesses in all the earth. That you and I might complete the job that Jesus has given us to do. Acts 19's been our passage. They hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Some of us have heard and been frightened. Some of us have heard and not known what to do. Some of us have heard and just have felt comfortable right where we're at. But we so desperately need the Holy Spirit's power and presence. And that's what I want to convey today. I have a little bit of an illustration here for us this morning. If you can go to the next slide. I want to talk about the three baptisms that are found in the New Testament. Three baptisms. And I'm going to use a little bit of an illustration here today, and I'm probably going to make a mess. But it's okay. We'll clean it up. The first baptism, by the way, baptism means to be immersed, to be submerged, okay? So in just a little bit, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the first baptism that Scripture talks about, and the one that's absolutely vital, because without it, we're not going to go to heaven, is being baptized into the body of Christ, which represents salvation. It's about becoming a part of God's family. And I tell you, we should be passionate about the church, passionate about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Into one body, and that is the body of Christ. Now, that's a great thing. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ. In other words, all of you who were saved, you've trusted and believed in Jesus as your Savior, have clothed yourselves with Christ. You've been immersed in Christ. You've put him on. You're clothed with him. True salvation, by the way, changes you and I truly. It's the beginning of a change in our lives that Jesus never stops until we go home to be with him. But there's another baptism. There's two more, in fact. And I want us to look at them, and I want to build the case for them because they're separate and distinct. They're different. You're baptized, first of all, into the body of Christ. You're saved. That's the beginning point of your journey and my journey. But then there's another baptism, and we're going to get to that. So John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. Very interesting passage at the end of the Gospel of John. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he'd said this, and by the way, let me back up just a little bit. The Bible's full of humor. Sometimes we miss it. We read through passages that are common to us and we miss it. Jesus is just popping through walls and into rooms. This is after his resurrection, and he shows up. They are literally behind the doors, locked for fear. They're locked in. This is the disciples I'm talking about, these men that end up changing the world. The Holy Spirit's not been poured out on them yet. And they're afraid and they're hiding. And all of a sudden, Jesus just pops into the room because the door is locked. He just shows up. Can you imagine? You're sitting at dinner today, you know, with your family, and all of a sudden, boom, there's Jesus right in your midst. That might get your attention, mightn't it? That's exactly what happens. After this, he says, peace be with you. After this, he said, he showed them his hands, showed them his side. And the disciples, they're just overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful moment. This is a wonderful moment for them. Their sins are forgiven. Listen, they'd followed him for 3.5 years, but this is their moment of salvation. This, because the price hadn't been paid when Jesus was still on earth with them here. He's now gone to the cross. He's paid the price for their sins, and this is their moment of salvation. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. How many of you understand that? The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And let me just represent, you're this little bottle, this little purified water bottle, okay? And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And I'm going to make a mess here. We're going to try to, and comes inside you just like that. Look at that. I haven't spilt any yet. Better stop while I'm ahead. He comes to live in you. He fills you. And boy, that's a wonderful and precious thing. You know, did anybody ever ask you if you received the Holy Spirit? Well, yeah, he came to live in me when I got saved. But baptism's a different thing. Oftentimes, we'll set up a baptismal pool right here, and we'll baptize several people. And thank God, I always tell them, make sure you close your mouth. Hold your nose. I instruct them, hold your nose like this, and close your mouth. And when I dunk you back, you're going to be submerged. You're going to be immersed, but you're not going to be filled. Or if you get filled, you're going to come up coughing and spewing. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever done that? Jumped in the pool and forgot to close your mouth. It's not a polite, it's not a fun, you know, experience. So this is what happens when we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. But look what happens here. I want to show you the same story from a different gospel. Same story from a different gospel, because this is one experience. This is salvation. But let's go to the next passage. Luke 24. Verse 49, I'm going to send you what my Father's promised. If you go back and read that story, you'll find it's the same story. It's a parallel story from just a different writer. But he had something different. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. In John, they received the Holy Spirit at salvation in them. Now he's telling them to go wait somewhere for a blessing that's going to come from on high, and they're going to be clothed with it. How many of you know when you put your clothes on, you don't put them on the inside, you put them on the outside? Again, here's this analogy, and we can break this down even further with Greek participles. It's upon, when we talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. This is so powerful. It's a separate and distinct experience that he promises. It's a future tense. It hasn't happened yet. They received the Holy Spirit at salvation, but now they're going to receive a clothing of the Holy Spirit, an immersion of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be submerged in his power and presence. We know this happened. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. That's where he's popping into doors that are locked into rooms. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. That was a baptism unto repentance, unto salvation. But in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is another experience altogether he's talking about. A powerful one, one that is absolutely going to change their lives. He shows them convincing proofs. Look at my hands, look at my side. But wait, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a separate experience. There's three different baptisms in the New Testament. Let's go to the next slide. The next one is water baptism. After you're baptized into Christ, into his body, and become a part of the church, then your next step of obedience and following the Lord should be water baptism. Now, by the way, let me just say, you don't get saved by water baptism. You don't get saved by any act or work that you can do of your own. The Bible makes it explicitly clear it is by grace that you are saved through faith and that not of yourselves. There's no work you can do to be saved, including be baptized. But you are baptized because you are saved as a symbol of your salvation and your faith having been placed in Christ. You're baptized in the water after you've been saved. Some teach that you have to be baptized to be saved. If that was true, then it would be a work of your own that accomplished your salvation and not his work alone. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's only by his work on the cross that you and I can be saved. Some people believe that you are to be baptized to be saved, and that some believe that the very words that are said over you when you are baptized are part of your salvation. Did you know that? There's quite a debate in the church about things like that. And there's a fairly big separation that happened in the church because of this very issue. Perhaps you've heard about it. Some people are called Jesus only. They believe you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. And, you know, can you imagine? Let me just illustrate how funny this really is when you kind of break it down. But can you imagine you're here and you're being baptized and the specific words said over you in the baptism really do count, as some denominations would believe. So here you are being baptized. I've got you under the water and you think you've been saved and everything is going good. But while you're under the water, I say the wrong words. You come up out of the water and oh no. God says to you, well, you know, it just didn't count because the right words weren't said over you. Can you imagine that? Baptism is an act of obedience, a symbol, an acknowledgement, Scripture says, of the fact that you've placed your faith in Christ and you are symbolizing to the whole world that you've placed your faith in Christ as your salvation. Amen, church? Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized. Matthew 10:32-33, whoever acknowledges me. This is an acknowledgement, a public acknowledgement. Tracy and I fell in love is a wonderful thing, but we wanted to acknowledge it in front of everybody. So we got married, and we stood in front of the Lord and our pastor and witnesses, and I got this wonderful ring that I've not taken off pretty much since, 31 years. Because this is a symbol of the commitment that I've made to this woman in the presence of God. That's what baptism is. It is the wedding ring of salvation. It's the acknowledgement that I've been saved. 27 times, by the way, in the New Testament, it talks of baptism, water baptism. So important. If you haven't gone public with your faith, you need to. And we love baptismal celebrations around here. Please let us know. We loved baptize you or baptize one of your children if they're ready. But then there's a third step. Let's go to the next slide. And it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about this. They were saved. That's the water in the bottle. But now, all of a sudden, they're going to be immersed. They're going to be immersed, not just water in the bottle, but the bottle is going to go right into the water. It's going to be submersed into the water. It's going to pop back up on me, but now I don't have a towel. But it's going to be covered, submersed, clothed, as the Scripture says, with power from on high. You and I absolutely need this power. Whether you think you do or not, you absolutely do. Let me show you a Scripture passage with all three baptisms in it. Acts chapter 8. And we're going to skip through the chapter just quickly, but I want you to see something very important. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. He's preaching the gospel. But when they believed... Okay, so this is the first baptism, right? This is baptized into the body of Christ. This is salvation. When they believed, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, water baptized. They had believed, now they're being water baptized as an acknowledgement of their belief. Do you see that? Both men and women. So their sins have been forgiven. Jesus is alive in them. They've already made a public demonstration of that. When the apostles... back in Jerusalem, the headquarters, heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they had the Holy Spirit inside them, but they hadn't been immersed, submerged baptized into the Holy Spirit yet. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon, look at that word upon, this is a very key participle in the Greek language. There's in, there's with, and there's upon. Had not come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit already in them? Did the Holy Spirit now come upon them? Is that two different relationships with the Holy Spirit? Do we need them both? Absolutely, we do. You see all three baptisms right there in that one passage. Well, why another experience, Pastor? Well, salvation's a free gift of God. But these other two baptisms require something on your part. You've got to step out in faith. You've got to want to declare the Lord publicly. And you've got to want to receive and be open to receiving this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And remember, it's about getting the job done. One day this gospel is going to be preached to this whole earth, and it's going to be by people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, who are willing to go anywhere, do anything at any time, boldly and fearlessly proclaiming the Lord. Man, I'm so proud of our YWAMers just got back from Egypt. Those guys going into homes and places and sharing the gospel with people that probably have never heard it before. But they're passionately filled with the Holy Spirit's power and presence and want to make a difference. That's what God wants to do for everybody in his church, is empower us for the job he's given us. Let me show you another passage that is really cool. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to see something really interesting here, and I want you to see it. And it's just going to be confirmation of what I've already been sharing with you and showing you. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. In heaven, notice that. The Father, the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity, right? They bear witness in heaven. And there are three that bear witness, where? On earth. Now look at this. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. What do these three things symbolize? Let me just start. Salvation through the blood of Christ, that's the only way. Water baptism, your public acknowledgement of his lordship in your life, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit baptism. Do you see it right there? All three, and these agree as one. These are all three things that God wants for all of his people. Does that make sense? You with me? Doesn't say it, they bear witness in heaven. It says they bear witness here on this earth. This is something God wants for all of his people. This is a part of, should be a part of all of our spiritual journeys. And I guess my question for you today as we bring this message to a close is, have you received all three? Have you received salvation? Have you then taken that step and publicly declared the Lord? And then have you gotten hungry for more of God? Are you hungry for his power and his presence in your life in a newfound way? Remember, it doesn't make you better than anyone, but it makes you better than you are currently. Empowers you for the task that God has called you to. Listen, I was thinking about this and about how this applied in my own life. And I'm not going to share a lot, but I'll just share a little bit. I wasn't raised in church. Some of you were, and that's a great privilege. At 15, my best friend led me to Christ. I started going to church with him. That was what I would call the first defining moment in my life, was that being baptized into Christ, salvation. That changed everything for me. If I were to, just in a couple of words, tell you the change that happened for me, I'm just putting it in my own words, I went from being an incredibly selfish person to an unselfish person that cared about others. That's kind of that defining moment for me. That's how I would categorize it. Salvation changed the orientation of my life, the direction of my life, the way I looked at my life. The second thing, and this happened a couple of years after my salvation, I was hungry to grow in God. I began to read His Word. I began to realize I had some things in my life that weren't pleasing to Him that needed to be broken off of my life. I went through what I call deliverance. It's kind of a scary word. I went through a time where God brought great freedom to my heart. It was equally, I don't know if I should say equally, but it was subsequently a defining moment for me. It absolutely changed my life. I got free from some things the enemy was trying to bind me with, had tried to bind me with for a long time, and now all of a sudden it was like chains being broken off of me, and I went from being bound, kind of helpless in some areas, to being free. That's how I would summarize that. And then a couple of years after that, I met some Christians who were all in, who were witnessing fearlessly, whose lives were all about proclaiming the gospel, who didn't care what other people thought, who were passionate about sharing Him with others. And it piqued my curiosity. It piqued my interest. And I began to hear about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. At first, I was scared. I'd been taught against it. I'd been told to stay away from it. I'd been told it was of the enemy. Can you believe that? I had a lot of misconceptions to overcome. But a precious little couple one night invited me after work over to their little apartment and prayed for me. And when they did, I knew something had happened. But I don't know that they even knew. I knew something had happened. I knew something powerful was working in my heart, my life. I was hungry. I was desperate for more of God. When I got in my car that night, it was late at night. I remember getting in my car, and all of a sudden, words began to fill my mind that I had never heard before, that I wasn't thinking of my own self. It's like someone stood up within me and began to speak a language in me that I had to choose to release, and I did, and I began to worship God in a whole new way that night. And I've not stopped that since that night. Every day I pray in the Spirit because it's a part of keeping my faith strong, keeping my life on course, keeping my intimacy with the Lord, my victory in the Lord. Salvation, I went from selfish to unselfish. Deliverance, I went from bound to free. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was absolutely another defining moment in my life, I went from shy to bold. And it changed my life forever. Some of you look at me and some of you have said, man, he's really passionate about missions. You better believe it. Here and there and everywhere. I want to see people saved in this house next week. It won't be easy. We'll have to do it together. We'll have to pray and believe all week long. We'll have to invite our friends and our family. But we'll preach the gospel and we'll believe for salvation to happen right here. But when I was a young man in my early 20s, I led my first mission trip to Mexico, and something happened that absolutely changed me. I was a young adult pastor, and I got 10 of our young adults. We drove in a van all the way to Monterrey, Mexico. I got there. I didn't know what to expect. I was totally out of my comfort zone, but I was passionate for Jesus. And I remember this guy named Fernando comes to me. We called him the John Wayne of Mexico. He was an awesome guy. He's a Mexican brother. He comes to me. He says, listen, I've got another group over in another town, and they've got the Jesus film, and they're showing it in a couple of nights. But believe it or not, nobody in their group wants to preach the salvation message at the end to close the service. Would you like to? And I was like, you better believe I would. Absolutely. I'd love that opportunity. Man, I was scared. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was going to say. Until that night, I was nervous as a cat. I was pacing. I was praying. I was asking God for the word. That night, we showed up at this village, and it's a little bitty poor colonia in southern Mexico, and there's hundreds of people watching this Jesus film. And I know it, you know, the film's not that long. I've seen it. And I'm going, oh man, in a little bit I gotta get up and preach. Lord help me. And I'm walking through this little Mexican village, I'm pacing, I'm just nervous, I'm pacing, and God says to me, everywhere you put your foot, I'm gonna give it to you, Jeff. You just preach my word, you just trust me. And the moment came and I got up and the lights were so bright. They turned the lights and there were all these people there, something like 750 people, something like that. And as I began to preach and then brought the short message to a close and invited people to receive Christ, they rushed toward me in such a way that I was scared. I thought I was going to be trampled right there, my first altar call. Believe you me, it got a hold of me. It got a hold of me. I had been down on the streets of downtown Louisville. I'd been in neighborhoods throughout Louisville. I'd given everything to try to reach people for Christ here, and with some success, but nothing like that. And you better believe I'm passionate about missions. I'm passionate about it here, and I'm passionate about it there. And everywhere that I can possibly go and preach the gospel and invite people to receive Christ. Tracy and I now, we've lost track, but we've led something like over 60 trips overseas. We've taken somewhere around 3,000 people with us because this was just too good. We didn't want to just keep this to ourselves. We wanted to encourage and challenge and equip others to go. And literally, folks, and I'm not saying this in any way because it's only because of the Holy Spirit, but we've literally seen thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people come to Christ. And it's been one of the great joys and privileges and honors of my life. And listen, I would have never been here, never doing any of this, without those defining moments, those three defining moments. Without the salvation, I would have been on a whole different trail. Without deliverance, I think I would have just stayed bound. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would have stayed shy. God knew what I needed. He knows what you and I need. So I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. Next slide. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You know what that says to me? You're going to be filled with something. Don't make it alcohol. Because listen, that's never going to really turn out too well. That's really not going to get you where you need to go, and it's certainly not going to help you finish the job. I don't know how many of you I told this story, and I know the time's running out, but I was sitting on an airplane in first class here about a year or so ago, and I was sitting beside a guy, and I didn't know who he was. We struck up a little conversation, and he was asking me, he was coming to visit Louisville for the first time. He was asking me what to do, and kind of found out after we got conversing a little bit, he was really interested in the bourbon tours. You know what I mean? I don't know much about the bourbon tours, to be honest with you. I know there's lots of them, and I know they're very popular. So I kind of felt out of my league. I'm like, I know there's a bunch of them, but, you know, I haven't been on any of them. And come to find out, he was a missionary to France for another denomination that's growing pretty rapidly. And suddenly, before I knew it, the conversation switched, and he started to try to recruit me to that denomination. And here was his selling point. By the way, I'm not going to name the denomination. It's one of those that has a name similar to other denomination names, but they broke off from one another. He goes, we're the ones that get to drink. And his selling point was, you know, we love some wine, and we love to drink, and this is a really good thing, and you should come join us. I thought, are you serious? And he kept coming back to this. He like three or four times hit this, that, yeah, we're the denomination that gets to drink. And I'm going, that's not appealing to me at all. I used to drink. I don't drink anymore. I haven't in quite some time. I don't have anything against anyone who does. Please don't think that. I'm not the younger brother. I'm not offended by that if you do. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, alcoholic drink didn't appeal to me anymore. I found a way to get intoxicated that was a whole lot better and didn't have a hangover. And it was a whole lot more enjoyable. And not only that, it was for a purpose and a reason, one that's eternal, one that can make a difference. All right, so let me wrap this up quick because I've gotten behind. People want some kind of experience, folks. It's why drugs, alcohol, pornography, you name it. Something's going to fill that void. People are looking for an experience. Can I just tell you the best experience you'll ever have is one with God? One where you open to His Spirit and you really cry out, and out of hunger, you let Him clothe you. By the way, Mona shared with me, it was really cool, a University of Pennsylvania study. ABC News did a report on this here recently. They took people because when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that comes, I believe, and I think it comes naturally. I don't think everybody does this because some are just inhibited for some reason. They just are afraid or they don't release it. But I think the capacity is there for everyone to speak in a spiritual language. But they went to a church and they took people who were praying in tongues and they put them through an MRI. And they wanted to see what their brain waves were doing when they were praying in the Spirit. This was really interesting, Mona. Thanks for sending it to me. And it was very interesting. The only problem I had with the whole thing was one of the church ladies. And I'll tell you about that sometime. But it was interesting because they found, they had them go through an MRI when they were speaking English, and then they had them go through an MRI when they were praying in the Spirit, and it was a different part of the brain that was highlighting when they were praying in the Spirit rather than when they were just praying in English. It was very interesting. They also paralleled this with Franciscan nuns and Buddhist priests when they were praying. And the same part of the brain highlighted for them as did when they were speaking their natural language. So speaking in that other language was something totally different than any of those other things. Very interesting. People want some kind of experience. You're going to go for wine or new wine? Can I invite you to new wine? I think it's much better. I think we should embrace the Holy Spirit. All right, four things real quick. Remove all barriers. I had some barriers I had to remove. God had more for me in my spiritual journey. He still has more for me. You may have barriers. Some of them are self-imposed. Some of them were imposed from your environment, your upbringing. I don't know. But you might have to remove some of those barriers to receive everything God has for you. You're going to have to come to him as a child. You're going to have to humble yourself in his presence. Acts 2, 38 and 39, repent and be baptized. Change your mind. Repent. Be baptized. There's that baptism, the water baptism, representing the salvation that's occurred. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off. Guess what? That means you. If you didn't think you were included, you sure are in God's economy. He's got more for you on this journey, but you may have to remove some barriers. When I first started hungering and thirsting for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I'd read a book and I went to a church meeting, and the first time I was prayed for, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. But I can tell you what did happen. I was so full of fear. My mind was racing. I was convinced I was going to fall over and hit the pew, and they were going to have to cart me out in an ambulance. I was just full of fear and dread, and I was scared, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I was a good little Baptist boy. I didn't want anything crazy happening. And I was just so locked up, I couldn't receive anything. I had to remove some barriers. I had to get past the thought that my loving Heavenly Father would do anything that would be hurtful or that I should be afraid of. Number two, request. Request. This is the scripture that did it for me. When I was sitting a month or two later in that little apartment with my friends late one night, they read this scripture, and when they did, I'm telling you what, I'll never forget it. It was like a warm blanket from heaven came and wrapped around me. I felt the presence of God like I'd never felt him before that time. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, this is Jesus speaking, how much more will your Father in heaven, I'd always heard this passage, give good gifts to those who ask him. But in Luke it says this, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's a good, good Father. He only has good gifts for you. When you come to want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid. There's no fear in God's love. Just, you know, we should all have the kind of posture before the Lord that says, God, I want everything you have for me. I want everything you have for me. Because you can trust him. He's good, and he only gives good gifts to his kids. Number three, you got to receive him by faith. You may or may not have an experience of a warm blanket covering you. I've heard lots of different stories. Some where there were great feelings, some where there were not. Often, as I said, those words will begin to just fill your mind, but you have to release them. The one thing I didn't like in the little ABC story is they had one little gal, and they brought her in, and she's in the scientific area where they're getting ready to conduct these tests, and she didn't just come in and start praying in the Spirit, which I believe you can. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit anytime, anywhere. It's under your control. But she had this approach, and this is part of the mispackaging that I think the church has done us a disservice with. She had to come in first. She had to bring in her boombox. You know, this is in the hospital there. Had her boombox. She had on her, you know, Israel Houghton praise or whatever it was. And she's worshiping God, and she's starting to dance. And then she starts to go into some kind of almost, you know, into and kind of almost like a trance type state and get into this state. And then she began to pray in the Spirit. And then she said to the reporter, yeah, this is something that's just beyond your control. I don't believe that. I believe, you know, I could start praying in the Spirit right now. I won't do it because I'm not going to try to freak you out. But I've got to choose to release it. When those words come, when you ask and you receive, you've got to release it. God's not going to force it upon you, and he's not going to put you in a position where you're just totally out of control and you're up here, you know, just in some kind of weird trance. It's not what happens. But a lot of people have portrayed it that way, and it's wrong. You're going to have to receive him by faith. You are going to have to take a step of faith. An unknown leap is required. You're going to have to speak out those first words when they come. I love this passage in Ezekiel. Go back to that real quick. I'm not going to read it all, but it's a cool passage. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water till it was ankle deep. He keeps leading him through the water until he gets to the place that it's so deep he can no longer touch the bottom. Problem is, a lot of us, we stop in our spiritual journey right there at about ankle deep. We kind of like it there. You know, our feet are firmly on the ground. We're in control. There is a degree to which you have to humble yourself and you have to allow the Lord to do something in and through you that might be a little humiliating to your flesh. But let me just say, it's going to be such a blessing to you because it's going to allow the Lord to come with his power and presence in a way that you may not have ever experienced before. And it's going to open a door to the gifts and to the empowering of his presence upon your life in such a beautiful and wonderful way. And then number four, I love this. And this is what I want to pray over you today. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and the ministry team to come. And I've kind of gone long, and I'm sorry for that. But I want to close today by praying over you and also giving you an opportunity to come. And if you'd like someone to lay hands on you and pray for you, for that to happen also. In Scripture, oftentimes when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, somebody just laid hands on them and prayed. Nothing spooky, nothing weird. We're not going to do, you know, see my tie my bow tie, or she rode a Honda, and all that stuff. We're not going to do that and have you repeat after us. She rode a Honda and not a Kawasaki and all that. We're not going to do that. So nobody's going to get under your chin and, you know, just repeat after me. Bah, 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 bah. Nobody's going to do that. I've seen all this craziness. This is why so many people have turned away and gone, that is weird. Yeah, that is weird. That is weird. We're not into weird, but we are into God. And we're into every good thing he has for us. Because again, folks, I want to see this gospel preached to the whole world. I want to be part of that. That's what this past week was for me. It was sacrificial. I so much missed my family. And it was hard for me in some ways, but I want to be a part of preaching the gospel all over the world and seeing the Lord return. 2 Corinthians 13:14. I'm going to pray this over you. Would you stand with me? The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your grace. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. Thank you, Jesus, that you've made a way for all of us to be saved. Lord, if there's anyone here today that hasn't received that amazing grace of salvation, Lord, I pray they would receive it today by just simply calling out to you and saying, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Come into my life. Make me new. Fill me with your love. The extravagant love of God. Oh, the Father is so good and he loves us so much. And Father, I pray that your love would just be manifested to every person here today. And the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you want to be so much more to most of us than we've ever conceived and ever realized. We want your power to come upon us. We want to be submerged into your power and presence. May these three be with you all. We're going to worship. If you'd like somebody to pray for you this morning, come and let them lay hands on you. But listen, you can also pray right beside your bed or right in your prayer closet or wherever you are in your daily time with God. And out of the hunger of your heart, if you pray and believe, he will baptize you in his wonderful, glorious power. Just ask him, Holy Spirit, baptize me. Baptize me. Baptize me. And worship him. And when those words begin to come, just release them as a part of your worship to the Lord. Hallelujah.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.